spirit, there's healing through your mind, and there's divine healing. Hallelujah. Now, God is allowed to choose any one of them. Amen. Our problem is we begin to dictate to God how he's got to heal people. And he'll do it his way. Remember, the Good Samaritan used natural means to bring healing to the man who fell among thieves and robbers. Isaiah used natural means to bring healing to Hezekiah. God showed him what to do. So when we pray, we say, God, we thank you that healing is your will. My wife and Joy were healed through being taken home to glory. Mother Golba was healed through being taken home to glory. They will never know another pain, another tear, hallelujah, another headache again. Amen. Meantime, we who are here continue on with the battle from the winning side. And their battle is over, ours continues on. And they've run the race, they've, you know, fought the fight, the good fight, and they've run the course, and now the crown is laid up for them. So we praise God for that. And if Jesus doesn't come, and it wouldn't matter if he didn't come for another 100 years, prophecy, the word of God wouldn't have failed, some people's interpretation of prophecy would. But the word wouldn't fail. And we'll go the same way. Hallelujah. They will lay our bodies to rest in some hole. You know, when you're going to plant a seed, you take your little spade and you dig a little hole and you drop the seed in and cover it with the earth, knowing that it's going to come forth.
That's right, amen.
And so that's all we went to on Friday, was a seed planting. We planted a seed, a jump. And one day that seed will sprout. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Death holds no fear for us. Death is only a shadow. I said to Andrew, and he called at 2:30 in the morning to let, and I said to him, Andrew, call me any time, day or night. I had already made my arrangements to be here. I was hoping to see Mother Golba before she went home to glory. The Lord had already shown me that he was going to take her, because I didn't let the family know that. Because there's always that hope. God said to Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you shall surely die and not live. But he did live another 15 years. He prayed, and God added 15 years to his life. So when God speaks to you and says something, that's not the end all. And prophecy is not fatalism. Prophecy is a prediction of what will take place if the conditions continue as they are. The book of Revelation is prophecy, prediction. There doesn't have to be an antichrist, you know. If all the world were saved tomorrow, what need would there be of an antichrist? And that's our aim, to see every soul come to Jesus. So we're not looking for antichrist. We're looking for Christ. We're not looking for the beast. We're looking for the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So get your mind off those things. Don't buy books about Antichrist and the beast and the great whore. Buy books about heaven. I'm leading into my subject. Your beloved pastor, my dear friend, has asked me, and his request is like the Queen's request, it's a royal command. Hello? Has asked me if I would minister on the subject of angels. Now, I love ministering on this subject. And if I didn't want to, I'd have told him no. You know, he's a prince in the house. Hallelujah. I'm a king. So praise the Lord. So we're going to look at the subject of angels. You know, I've touched on it several times over the years. Now, God gave me this message way back in 1963. There was nothing on angels. No books were printed on angels. Nobody talked about angels. Everybody talked about devils. Fighting devils, casting out devils, chasing devils, being chased by devils. Devils here, devils there, devils everywhere. But nobody ever talked about angels. And I must confess, I was caught up in that kind of thing. I used to wrestle with devils. And how long have you been there? You know, one day the Holy Ghost said to me, "You're no better than a spiritualist medium." I said, "What do you mean, Lord?" He said, "You're communicating with devils. You're communicating with evil spirits." Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I can feel the thought coming up. Well, Jesus asked the devil its name. No, he didn't. He asked the man his name. And the devils answered and said, "We are legion." Jesus wasn't talking to the devil. He'd already told the devil to leave. He was talking to the man. Boy, it's getting quiet. We're just shaking some trees. We're just killing some sacred cows off. Hallelujah. Now, God said, "You're no better than a spiritualist medium." I said, "What do you mean, Lord?" He said, "You're communicating with devils." So I said to the Lord, what should I do? He said, "Talk to the person. Talk to the person." And from then on, that's what I've done. I'll get the person to look me in the eye and I talk to them. And the devils just leave. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Before that, I used to, "How long have you been there? What's your name? Where are you going after you leave this person?" Oh dear God, why? That's how we were thought, that's how it was done. That was a Pentecostal tradition. Jesus said, "By your traditions you make the word of God of none effect." So when the Lord began to speak to me about angels, there was no book that I could go and study except the Bible. Billy Graham he was the first one to write a book on angels. And it's good, but it's just not even barely touching the surface. And when we get into the scriptures, I found that there are over 300 references to angels in the Bible. And there's just on 100 references to devils and evil spirits in the Bible. So where has our emphasis been? Look at all the books that are written on devils and demons. Look at all the sermons you've heard on casting out devils and demons. Hundreds of them. But how many sermons and messages have you ever heard on angels? One or two? Never 100. Now, there are more books written on angels in the secular press than there is in the Christian press. I have been told, instructed by preachers after they've heard this message, and I usually spend 3 nights on this, and we're going to try and get through everything in one message this afternoon. I usually spend 3 nights. And let me tell you where we're going to take you. We're going to show you that there's a fivefold ministry among the angels who work with the fivefold ministry on earth. That earth is actually just a mirror image of what's going on in heaven. Hello? Wow. We're going to show you there are 9 orders of angels. Now, the ancient churches have always taught this. Just as there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruit of the Spirit, there are 9 orders among the angels. We're also going to show you that you have a personal angel. and that your personal angel looks, talks, speaks, and acts exactly like you. And your personal angel has grown with you since you were conceived in the womb. When you were birthed, your personal angel was there with you and will be with you. And God holds your personal angel as much responsible for your actions as he holds you. Wow. Wow. Now we're going to shoot down another sacred cow. Nowhere in the Bible can you find it taught that a third of the angels fell from heaven. That's what you've all been taught. That's what I was taught. But just ask people, where is the scripture for that? Where is the chapter and verse? Now, I'm a Bible person. And I learned very early in the piece, coming from a Roman Catholic background, that you had to challenge people, the priests and anybody else, and say, show me that in the Bible. Show it to me in the book. And you can't show me where a third of the angels fell. But I'll tell you the scripture that they quote. Revelation chapter 12, where the dragon is standing before the woman who's clothed with the sun, her feet are on the moon, and she's crowned with 12 stars, and that's not Israel, nor is it the Virgin Mary. It's the church of Jesus. It's the bride in all of her glory. And the dragon is standing before her to devour her progeny, her child, the man-child that she's to bring forth. And it says, and the tail of the dragon sweeps a third of the stars of heaven and casts them to the ground. Now that's the scripture they quote for a third of the angels. What does that have to do with this? Angels are not even mentioned there. But we accept it. That's a lie of the devil. You read in chapter 13 that one of the things he does is blasphemes the angels. Not only does he blaspheme God, but he blasphemes the angels. I'm sort of getting the plough going over you to break up the ground for the sowing of the seed. Now let's turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. We're going to have a look, by the way, at the first references to angels. In Psalm 91, and I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew to come forward and read this to you. Psalm 91. And Pastor D, if you'd read verses 11 and 12. Well, actually, I think I want another couple of verses before that. These are the exact notes. These are my notes that I wrote way back in 1963. Hallelujah. That's 41 years ago. No, 40 years ago, darling. Psalm 91. We just want to read a couple of verses before it, Pastor dear. Somebody's taken it out of my Bible. Here it is. Adjust my glasses so I can see. Yes, read verse 9 and 10.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Just a moment. Listen to that again. Read that again. Because
thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Because you have done this, God's going to do something. Because you have made. Everybody say made.
Made.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. A habitation is where you live. And because you've made God your living place, now read the next verse.
There shall no evil befall thee.
Oh, there shall no evil befall thee. No evil comes into your life. We may think it's evil. The world may call it evil. But it's not evil to us. Hallelujah. There shall no evil befall thee. Yes.
Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I remember years ago when we had the flu epidemic, I wrote on a piece of paper and I stuck it on each door of the house, neither shall any plague come nigh this dwelling. Everybody around us was getting the flu and we didn't get it.
Praise God.
On my shoulder here there's written, neither shall any plague come nigh this dwelling. So when the devil's germs come along, they want to cling on, they read that and say, can't come here. And off they go. Hello?
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, your body and my body is God's dwelling.
That's right.
And he is my dwelling. He dwells in me and I dwell in him. Go ahead, Andrew. No evil shall befall thee.
No evil shall befall thee. Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling, for he shall...
For. The word for is what part of speech? Where's our teachers? Where are our teachers? Here we have a teacher. What part of speech is for? He's looking to for another teacher. Helen, what part of speech is for? Pardon? Do they know?
They only teach maths.
Don't teach math.
They only teach maths. They only deal with numbers.
Four is what here? It has the force of the word because. So what part of speech is because? Never mind. Read on. Ken's going to say something. No, he wasn't. Okay. Read on, Pastor.
For he shall give.
For he shall give. It's a gift.
His
you
angels.
Don't pay for it.
No.
You just receive it. Because he shall give. Yes.
His angels.
His angels.
Charge over
charge
thee.
Over thee.
To keep thee.
To keep thee.
In all thy ways.
In all thy ways. People say to me, how are you keeping? I say, I've been kept very well. He's given angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Anywhere I choose to go, the angels are keeping me. See, I don't have to get down and say, oh God, what is thy will? I just do it, believing it's God's will. And if it isn't, then he'll stop me. There's enough angels there to do it. Okay.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thy dash thy foot against a stone.
He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest at any time you dash your foot, you stub your foot on a stone. Every day when I get into my car, I pray. They've heard me do it here. Lord, I thank you for covering me with the holy blood of Jesus. I thank you for keeping me safe from myself and the other crazies on the road. I thank you for the angels that are given charge over me to keep me in the way, to bear me up in their hands, lest at any time I dash my foot against a stone. And angels, I now submit to your charge. You have to learn now to submit yourself daily to the charge of the angels that are given charge over you. Wow. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor dear. Now, let us turn to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1. What are angels? Hebrews chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. By the way, I want to tell you, well, no, that's another subject. We'll leave that for another time. Who and what are demons or devils? I'm going to correct it right now. First of all, they're not fallen angels. The angels that fell, we're told in Peter and in Jude, that God has reserved them in chains of darkness till the day of judgment. The Greek word for devil is daimonos. We get our word demon, and it simply means a shade, a shadow. They're only shadows. I don't know if any of you ever saw Ghost with Patrick Swayze. And remember, you see the just shades coming up and grabbing hold of the wicked and dragging them down to where they are. And that's all they are. That's why you can dissipate them. That's why you can disperse them. That's why you can get rid of them just like that. They're only shades, shadows, no substance. See, Satan lives in the realm of deceit, lies and illusions, and that's what he produces. He's a real person, but demons, his demons, are simply shadows and shades. And next time we're here, we'll perhaps, or I might even do it next Sunday with the pastor's permission, and show you where they originate from. And they will not exist forever. They can be destroyed and disintegrated into nothingness in a moment. And you can do that. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. We'll read verse 6. And again, when he, that's God, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. This is not talking of Jesus here. This is talking of Adam, who was God's firstborn. Hello? Adam is called in Luke chapter 1, the last verse, the Son of God. He was the created Son of God, and God birthed him into the world. He was his firstborn son in the earth. Jesus is the firstborn of all eternity. Now, God said, let all the angels worship Adam. And this is where the fall of Satan came. Hello. Now, I'm teaching you what the ancient church taught, not this modern garbage that the devil fell from heaven, came and destroyed the earth, and God started all over again. When God said, let all the angels worship him, Adam, that's when Lucifer rebelled. He was beautiful. Yes. He was the light bearer. He was the son of the morning. Why should he worship a bit of mud that God breathed into? Hello? So he rebelled. And he took others with him in that rebellion. That's another story, which we'll touch on when we get into demons, God willing, next week. He saith that all the angels of God worship him, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. Everybody say spirits.
Spirits.
Say spirits.
Spirits.
An angel is a pure spirit being. An angel has no soul. An angel can assume a physical identity. We see that in and out of the Old Testament. The angels that appeared to Abraham took on human form, sat down and ate with him. The angel that appears to Manoah took on human form. Angels can take on physical appearance, but they are pure spirit beings. What is their substance? What are they made from? They are made from fire. Wow. Spiritual fire. The same fire that God is. Our God is a consuming fire. He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now think of this. You've got to hold this in your mind. So when people start messing with you, you've got some beings that are made of flaming fire. Oh, glory. I'm tingling all over. He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. Now come down to the last verse in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 14. Now, well, we'll read verse 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? You're Ottoman. I wish you'd learn to sit and let God make your enemies your footstool instead of you going out battling with them.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
This modern stuff on spiritual warfare, actually one of the best things I've read on it is Kelly Barner's book. This last one that he's come out with, Grace, that I've been reading at your house, and where he's dealing with spiritual warfare. Our warfare is the warfare of faith.
Yeah.
Fighting the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
And you only fight a good fight is the fight you win. Hallelujah. We're fighting from the winning side.
Yeah.
The devil's already been defeated. He was defeated at Calvary. Praise the Lord. He's already been chained. Well, oh, I know the scripture says he goeth about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But listen to what it says, he goeth around like, similar to. He imitates a roaring lion. But he's not no teeth. All he can do is gum you. He goeth around as a roaring lion, but I have another lion. And he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The Lion of the Tribe of Praise.
Yes.
And when I start praising God, my lion comes out and devours that lion.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
Just as Moses' rod devoured the magician's rods. Oh, come on, saints.
Yeah.
You're living such a poverty-stricken spiritual life. When I say you, I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about the church. I live triumphantly. People say, how old are you? I say, I'm 19. It's my body. It's going on 75. But I'm just 19. How are you? I'm great. I'm good. But my body, now that's another thing. It's been in pain and agony. I said to Sister Grace the other night, I said, my body's just a bag of misery at the moment. That's my body. I wasn't a bag of misery. People say to me, are you diabetic? I say, no. My body is, but I'm not. Come on, saints. Does Darby have cancer? No.
No.
His body does. He doesn't. I want you to grab hold of this. Did Mother Golba have two strokes, a heart attack? No. Her body did. She didn't. And the Lord just said, come on, Betty, it's time to vacate these premises. They're falling apart.
Amen.
I got something built for you. It's ready now.
Yeah.
See, as soon as your mansion is ready, you're gone.
Yeah.
Hello. I've a mansion bright and fair. I've got a home and a going there. Over in that land. That wonderful land. Now, sit on God's right hand. Everything that God has said to Jesus, he said it to him in his humanity. That means he said it to you and me. Paul said, don't you know that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? Where? On the throne. At the right hand of the Father. Now let me make your enemies your footstool. Come on, devil, under there. Get under my feet. You're my ottoman. You all know what an ottoman is? You know why it was called an Ottoman? The Ottoman Empire, after the Turks. See, the Brits had the right idea then. They didn't see themselves being defeated.
No.
So they called the footstool their Ottoman. So the devil's meant to be your resting place for your feet.
Amen.
That's what God's ordained for him. Come on. Under my feet, where you belong. Glory to God. Okay, now we come to this text. Are they not, the angels, are they not all? Everybody say all. Say all. There's not one exception. Are they not all ministering spirits? Now, sent forth to minister, what is the next word in the King James Bible?
Four.
Four, not two, like your modern translations have got. Sent forth to minister for. What part of speech is for?
We never got that far, did we?
Pardon?
We never found out.
Now, this is a different... Here it's a preposition. We'll tell you that now. The other place it's not a preposition. Here it's a preposition. Sent forth to minister for, on behalf of them. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? This is a different word. The first word, are they not all ministering spirits, is actually, are they not all liturgizing spirits? Now, you were at a form of liturgy yesterday. You didn't like it. You better get used to it, because that's what's going on in heaven. But their heart is in it. The word liturgy occurs 13 times in the New Testament. Was it 14 times? 14 times. Are they not all liturgizing spirits, worshipping God according to divine order? Every angel is a worshipper of God according to the divine liturgy. In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1, Jesus is called the minister of the heavenly sanctuary. And that word there is liturgos. He is the leader of the worship. He is the leader of the liturgy. He's leading those angels. He's leading the 24 elders. He's leading the multitude that stand around the throne in worship. There are just two books in the New Testament that describe worship. One is Hebrews and the other is the book of Revelation. Forget about the beast. Forget about the great whore. Forget about the two witnesses and have a look at heaven.
Yeah.
Because things are going on in heaven before they go on earth.
Yeah.
There are 24 songs in the book of Revelation. People want me to write a book on this one. And each of those songs that are sung precipitate events on earth. You're not going to read that in hell, Lindsay. Mm. Oh, I want to tell you, we are living in wonderful, wonderful times. Jesus is the leader of the liturgy. Are they not all liturgizing spirits sent forth to minister? Now, this is a different word. This is the word deacon. Hello, everybody say deacon. Are they not all liturgizing spirits sent forth to be deacons for them who are the heirs of salvation? Oh, glory to God.
Yeah.
Every angel is my deacon. Every angel is your deacon.
Praise God.
Wow. Ha, ha, ha. Sent forth to be your deacons. and they've been standing around you, leaning up against the corner of the house, filing their fingernails and saying, you know, I've been here for years and they've never asked me to do one thing for them yet. A deacon is a servant. You tell servants what to do. You get them to do things for you. Wow. You don't pray to your servants, do you? Do you pray to servants? No. What do you do to servants?
Instruct
them. Yeah, you instruct them. You give them their daily tasks. You remember my daughter, she had all kinds of angels. If she couldn't find some, she called on her looking angels. Looking angels!
Yeah.
Give your angels names. Looking angels. Finding angels.
Helping.
Do you know angels aid in the saving of men and women? He shall send forth his angels and they shall gather his elect together. You start calling on your angels, your deacons, and send them out to bring your loved ones to Christ.
Amen.
You've prayed for years, now get your angels to work. Put legs on your prayers. Hallelujah. They've been carrying those prayers to the Father. Now put legs on them. See, they won't do anything until you tell them to do it. Like a servant, they will not cross over their bounds. You have to instruct them what you want to do. This is the key. This is the key. Every angel. Now, how many angels are there? Would you like to know? Wow. Glory to God. Back to the book. Now we go to the weird book in the Bible, Revelation. Chapter 5. The book of Revelations. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. Is this helping you? Amen. Chapter 5. Okay. And verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne. Everybody say, many angels.
Many.
Say, many angels.
Many.
Now, this is just many. This is not all of them. This is just many. Now, look how many is. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You try and multiply that out. You can't. Now that's just many. And every one of them are your deacons. 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands are my deacons. And your deacons. Mother Golba doesn't need her deacons anymore. Joy, my daughter, doesn't need her deacons anymore. Muriel, my beloved wife, doesn't need her deacons anymore. So they just stay behind for us. They're our family deacons. Oh, come on, dear ones. You've been so devil conscious instead of being angel conscious. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Does anybody have an amplified Bible here today? Usually I can always get an amplified. Thank you, Geraldine. I want you to get this next scripture that I'm going to read. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And Paul says in verse 1, I'll give you the verse we want you to read in a moment, Geraldine. Wherefore?
I've got it,
Are you being naughty, Philip?
No.
No, okay. Somebody took it out, Geraldine. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, everybody say, wherefore. Now, wherefore has the same force of speech as therefore. He's following on for chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing. Now, this is something you've got to see. You envision it. Bye-bye, Brother Hunt. Don't read that book. I hope you don't stop that thing. You've got to envision it. You've got to see it in your imagination. Imagination is the eye of faith. It is the eye by which faith sees things. You imagine this. Seeing, you are surrounded by devils. Is that what it says?
No.
Seeing, you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, David, Samuel, Samson, Noah, Enoch. He's part of that cloud. Elijah. I'm surrounded by these people. They're laying siege to me. But most people can only see themselves surrounded by devils. You've got to see this. You've got to imagine it. Lie in your bed at night and see the room filled with all these heavenly witnesses. Glory be to God. I live this way. Seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And that's not some personal sin, that's unbelief. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will convince the world of sin because they believe not. That's the only sin the Spirit of God will convict you of. That's unbelief. Say, come on now. He'll say, come on now, Gracie. Let's believe together. And Grace says, okay. That's conviction of the Holy Ghost. Not this, I feel so bad. Feel good. Okay, let's continue on here. Now, coming down in chapter 12. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, and the finisher, the completer of your faith. What he's begun in you, he'll finish in you. The word our, if you look at it, it's in italics. That means it's not in the original, so it reads, the author and finisher of faith. Praise God. Faith is not a problem. This is the problem. But faith doesn't come from here, it comes from the heart. No problem there. Now, come down a little further in the chapter. Hallelujah. Okay, where shall I start? All right, let's come to verse 18. For you are not come. Now, this is the Bible is telling you where you haven't come to and God hasn't brought you to it. If you're there, it's because you got yourself there. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. You haven't come to blackness. You haven't come to darkness. And you haven't come to tempest. Wow, we're getting to the verse in a minute. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that they should, that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. Come down to verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion. Ooh, glory. Honey, we're not marching to Zion, we're in Zion.
Yeah.
We're marching around in Zion. You are come to Mount Zion, the city. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
The city of the living God. And there ain't any devil in there. This is where you are come to. You're not going to come to it. You're there. The city, and you've got to see this. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now we want that innumerable company of angels. Read it to us in the... Tell us where we've come to. Stand up and read, Geraldine, dear.
Is this chapter 20?
And face the people. Verse 20, that's right, in a big loud voice now, like a lady politician.
But rather you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless multitudes of angels.
The what?
Countless.
The countless?
Multitudes.
Multitude?
Of angels.
Of angels.
In festal gathering.
In festal gathering. Oh, I love it. They're all dancing and praising and shouting. They're dressed up for a party. Don't worry about there.
All right.
Glory to God. They're all ready for a party. They are partying animals. That's a good American expression.
It is.
We can get things across in Yankee Doodle talk. They are partying angels. And that's what we've come to. I'm going to stop here and give you a little story of a friend of mine. She used to write hymns, choruses. Her husband built her a new home. This was up in the Seattle area, Washington, west coast of the States. And he built her a music room, so she could go and compose her hymns and put in a beautiful piano. Everything was there, ready for her. And she was showing a friend around the new house before they moved in. She said, I want to take you to my music room. And as they were approaching the music room, she heard the sounds of music and laughter and dancing. And she went in, opened the door, and the two women looked in, and he with these angels. One was playing the piano, another had a violin, another one had a harp, another one was blowing a trumpet, and others were singing and dancing around the room. And she was looking at them. They turned around, looked at her, and stopped. And she said, what are you doing here? They said, this is just to let you know we'll be here to help you write your songs. Then they just vanished. Oh, that's better than devils, isn't it? Now, if you want a devil story, I'll tell you a cute one. Dear old Smith Wigglesworth.
Oh, yes.
One night. And Smith Wigglesworth, he woke up. The hairs on his body were all standing on end. It was pitch black dark in the morning. His flesh was creeping. And he looked down at the end of the bed, and there was the devil. And he looked at him and said, oh, it's only you, and went back to sleep.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Oh, saints, I want to tell you, this is the way to live, right?
Yeah.
You've got an angel who can teach you and help you with those children. I'm not going to finish this today, so we'll have to finish it next week. And so we've come to this countless number of angels in festal gathering. Festal means joyful feasting. Glory to God. Now, let me show you or give you the nine orders of angels. You can write these down. They're divided into three groups. The first group are cherubim, seraphim, and thrones. Say it with me. Cherubim, seraphim, and thrones. Say thrones. These are the ruling angels who dispense God's authority and rulership throughout the universe. The next are dominions. Principalities. Powers. Everybody say dominions.
Dominions.
Principalities.
Principalities.
And powers.
Powers.
Say powers.
Powers.
These are the next three. Their work is in the earth. There are angels who are given dominion over areas, countries. There are angels who are given, who have authority over their principalities. Hello? What is Monaco? It's a principality. So there's an angel, there's a principality angel over that. Could be more than one. What is Great Britain? What are we? We're not a principality, are we? What are we? We're a what? We're a kingdom, right? So we come under the angel of dominion. The angels of dominion are over Great Britain. Powers, what are they over? They're over your municipalities, your local government, mayors, because the word power means that. They're over the local authorities. Now, people can believe devils are over these places, but they can't believe that God has his angels over them. And the last three are virtues. Virtues, archangels, and angels. These are the last three. There are only two, well, actually there's only one person named an archangel in the Bible, that's Michael.
Yes.
But we know there are others. Gabriel is actually an archangel. The archangel Gabriel. And so the archangels have to do with resurrection. Wow. Virtues are those angels who work in the area of causing people and the believers to be able to live virtuous lives. You're having problems with virtue? Ask God to send you an angel of virtue. Or, remember, they're all your deacons. The cherubim, the seraphim, the thrones are your deacons. The principalities, dominions and powers are your deacons. The virtues, archangels and angels are still your deacons. Michael is the warring angel. And God has ordained for Michael to go forth and do war with Satan and his angels. Will you stop doing it? And if the devil starts giving you a hard time, say, get away from here, I'll sick Michael onto you. Hello? Yeah. That's what I do. I ask the Lord, I say, Father, send Michael now to battle with the devil and his angels. Come on, saints. Michael is the warring angel. Okay. There are angels that bring healing. We see that at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, where at a certain season the angel would come down and trouble the waters, and whoever first stepped in was healed. There are angels to give understanding. The first angel that is mentioned in the Bible, and we'll go into this in depth next week, because he's the first of the fivefold ministry angels, is the angel of the Lord, who always speaks as God himself. And that's what an apostle does. Jesus said to the apostles, he that hears you hears me. Now we take that and apply it to every believer, but look at it in its context. He's talking to the 12 apostles. He that hears you hears me, and he that rejects you rejects me. And he said, you can reject this and you can reject that, but you can't reject this. You can reject a prophet and get away with it, but don't you reject an apostle. You can't get away with it. There's a fivefold ministry among the angels. But the first angel, the next time an angel is mentioned, is with the 24th chapter of Genesis. Don't turn there because we'll deal with this a little more next week. And Abraham tells his servant Eliezer that God will send an angel before him to prosper him. Hello. The first angel that's given a name is the angel of prosperity. And he's one of your deacons.
Amen.
I said he's one of your deacons. He's one of your deacons. You need to be prospered. Prospering in health. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. You tell the angel of prosperity you need prosperity in health, you need prosperity in material things, you need prosperity to get out of debt, you need prosperity to give to the work of God. Come on, saints.
Amen.
He goes out and he works on the ungodly, gets their wealth and brings it to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The angel of prosperity. Well, I think we'll stop there today. We've gone on longer than we intended. You're going to have to listen to the tape.
Get it to us.
Pardon?
Get it to us.
Right. Now, you're not going to read this in any book because I haven't written it yet.
No.
And they're at me. I've got preachers all around the United States and Canada saying, you have got to put this in writing.
You are.
And I'm working on it. Hallelujah. The ministry of angels.
The angels will send you a secretary.
Pardon?
The angels will send you a secretary.
Yeah, oh, that's an idea. Thank you. Thank you. Now, angels, I need a secretary, a good secretary. He'll work for nothing. Amen. Let's just raise our hands for a moment, shall we? Say, Father.
Father.
I thank you. For the ministry of Donald Trump. Some of you haven't. Donald Trump. He was just a small billionaire. He's just worth just about 4 or 5 billion. You know, he's just a little billionaire. And in Atlanta, Georgia, he has an office building, and his management there engaged the services of a young landscaper to do the landscaping in the front of the building. And it was only a small job, $1,500. Well, he sent them bill after bill after bill, and they never paid. Now, here's an organization worth billions and couldn't pay $1,500. So what does he do? He takes them to the small claims court. Now, they can't send attorneys to a small claims court. They have to appear in person because they don't appear. So the judge gives him a judgment. Not only does he give him $1,500, but also interest on it. So what does he do then? They ignore that. They don't do a thing. The bailiff serves the judgment, and they don't do a thing. Months go by. The guy's had it. He goes back to the court again. See, some of you don't know how to approach God as the judge. They go back to court again. This time, the court issues a lien against all Donald Trump's bank accounts, his stocks, his bonds, everything. They can't operate as a business. And he adds to the interest. They paid up pretty quick. You see, that's another story when we get on to the message, how to get the devil to restore everything he's stolen from you. You have to learn to approach God as the judge. It doesn't rest on your worthiness. That young landscaper didn't say, well, I'm so unworthy, I don't deserve my $1,500. No, it was his right. He knew his rights under the law. And you must know your rights under the court of heaven as a citizen of the kingdom.
Amen.
Glory to God.